My second guest in November 1998 was Jean Graffy. She's a mother of about 19 children, including Neil and Aaron Graffy, who have both been on the program, historians. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Aaron Graffy.
Hey, good morning there.
Good morning. Say that one more time.
Good morning, Master Schneidman.
Oh, there we go.
Master of real estate and knowledgeable about all things real estate-ish in Santa Barbara County.
Well, we got to record. We got to save that segment. Save that clip. I'll never forget when your mom. She came on a few times over the years, and she was like the elder statesman. You know, the armchair. She was out of politics at that point.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay.
And she came on once, and or she came on again a few years later, and I had used to quip towards the end of the program, well, my guest today has been so-and-so, and I think she's been our guest best so far. So I said that to your mother, and not to her, because we were running out of time. It was the, you know, and she interjected, and she said, well, wait, what about Aaron and Neil?
Oh, good mommy, good mommy. Yep. That's pretty cute of her. Yeah, she had such a great sense of humor.
Well, she defended her children, the mother hen, God bless her, and I just has always stuck in my head. And you're lucky to have her for such a long time.
Yeah, extra credit, Mom. Good to hear that. That's a lot of fun.
So Neil and Aaron, is your sister the barrister still in England?
No, she's actually a law professor at Pepperdine, which she was doing in England as well. And so she's full-time in, I guess you can't quite say Malibu. Everything is by, you know, computer, wherever you're at.
That's true. That's true. That's too bad because, let's get into today's topic, which initiated because I noticed that I like checking Today in History, and on January 16th, 1919, the 18th Amendment prohibition is ratified by the states, and it was passed by Congress in 1917, and then it was ratified. And on January 17th, 1920, the nation became officially dry. And it, despite effort by law enforcement to prevent large-scale distribution of alcohol, organized crime flourished in America. And finally, 1933, the 21st Amendment, the Constitution was passed and ratified, repealing the prohibition. So I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about, I never realized that the pandemic just preceded prohibition. And here we are in another pandemic 100 years later, and was wondering, what are the odds of another prohibition? It's quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. Now we have pot shops, and, you know, we're just going
the opposite
direction. 100, yeah.
Everything goes, but we do have this, is people don't realize this. Why is organized crime out and about? Because now we've legalized marijuana, et cetera, et cetera. And there's no political statement. It's just this is how it is. Is that there's so much, no, maybe it's political. There's so much regulation on selling you marijuana that it becomes more expensive. So there's still room for organized crime to come in because they'll sell you the stuff that has not been government approved and gone through all the special licensing and farming it and et cetera, et cetera. So we still have a problem.
It's very true. And speaking of the pot purveyors, they got in for the vaccine as being healthcare workers. And so they're getting the vaccine ahead of teachers.
Oh, what a wonderful world we live in today. Full of surprises.
So I've always been interested in Santa Barbara history and old restaurants and old bars, and it got me thinking, and you did some research because you spoke to a group about Santa Barbara's history?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit on this. So before the Westerners, which is a historical group and a historical society, we had a wonderful whole display on and talk on this. Gosh, this was back when David Bissell was the executive director, and he passed away some time ago. So this was prior to that. Gosh, I'm trying to think of the year. And then more recently, our Maritime Museum, gosh, they had just have the greatest stuff going on over there. But we had about maybe 2 years ago, and they did a special, maybe it was a year ago, gosh, an exhibit on rum running and prohibition. And I did the one wall that was a panel on, different walls had panels on prohibition, and what I did was covered prohibition in Santa Barbara. And what's so interesting about that is you think, oh, yeah, so, you know, people probably got busted. They probably tried to do this or that. And I like to say for all of Santa Barbara history that no matter what field of endeavor that you look at, whether it's the arts, whether science, whether medicine, whether sports, that Santa Barbara has put itself on the map in some aspect for anything you can look at. So you go, Prohibition? Yes! Prohibition. Santa Barbara is on the map, not just that we had Prohibition here. This was probably the area of one of the biggest rum running, meaning any of the alcohol, in the United States. You're thinking rum running, you're thinking East Coast, right?
Sure.
So, of course, rum running started on the East Coast, et cetera, et cetera. And they had all their agents over there. But when they started going into Prohibition, they didn't, you know, when government's in charge, they don't think things carefully through. And I think they had like two agents per state. And I just want to recommend to you that if you're going to enforce a law, you probably need a heck of a lot more agents to take care of all that stuff. So when they closed down things with the rum running and trying to close it down on the East Coast and started doubling up their enforcement over there, everybody went over to the East Coast, especially also when they and the Congress enacted a 12-mile limit. So
the 12-mile
moved west. And you have, just in general, you have boats coming down from Canada and boats coming up from Mexico. But the problem was enforcement, that is law enforcement, in California didn't have boats.
Tell me about the, well, first of all, two things. You had mentioned rum runners when we were talking, exchanging emails, and I didn't realize that that wasn't specific on rum. So tell me about that name, what that name, rum runners, and then what did you say about 12 miles?
So Congress had 12-mile limit, you know, that people could be, yeah, I guess that was the international limit at that time. And so the boats would carry whiskey and rum and other things, I'm sorry, not rum, but whiskey down from Canada. And they would come and park off 12 miles, and then you're going to have these rum runners, people who are going to get the booze off of the ship and run it onto shore, and they probably have accomplices that then pick it up from shore and then run it to wherever they're going to be taking it to. So rum running, we use that term, but it's not, and it started, on the, of course, on the East Coast when you're bringing up the sugar crop from, you know, Jamaica and Cuba, et cetera. But the term kind of doesn't mean just rum. It just means how are you running in illegal, illicit adult beverages into shore or into wherever you're running it to.
Were we getting tequila from Mexico?
And probably tequila from Mexico would make sense. So the L.A. Times even would talk about the Canadian ship so-and-so is parked offshore of Long Beach or whatever it is, and we all know why it's there, you know. So, but they're even putting these articles in the paper. Such, and so, of course, the feds are, you know, scooting around trying to figure out when they're going to land the goods. But now let's move down the coast or up the coast to Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara County has 125 miles of county because it includes our three offshore islands.
Mm.
And that is more county coastline than any other place in America. Once again, Santa Barbara, you know, making it stand as being the first or the only or the best of whatever endeavor, like I mentioned, that you poke can point to. And here we have that, too, for Santa Barbara. So the bad guys who are really rum-running in Santa Barbara aren't Santa Barbarians. There are other people who just figure out this is the place to do it. Sleepy little Santa Barbara, they've got no boats, they don't have much in law enforcement. Law enforcement from the Right Act, I think it was, in California said that all of the police and the county will be in charge of enforcing up and down the state. So at any rate, what happens is you're taking orders from people on the mainland up to Canada. Canada doesn't come down with a shipload of liquor and then try to sell it. This is already pre-sold, okay? So they come down here and they're offshore, and then the typical thing might be in Santa Barbara County, you might have Italian fishermen who will land the goods on the island, one of the islands, or they might take it, be the ones who are taking it from the islands and then they land it onto the shore. That's all they're being paid to do. If they get stopped by the authorities, they've got all that booze in their boat covered with layers and layers and boxes and bags of fish. Dead fish, not smelling too great, so they don't get a whole lot of hassle, but that's kind of the mechanism how this all took place.
Now, if you were a Prime member, did that include shipping?
If you were, sorry?
If you were a Prime member, did that include shipping?
Well, you're paying for the whole thing, so if you're ordering, you're, you know, it's...
That was a reference to Amazon.
Oh, sorry. It's too early in the morning for my brain to be engaged. And I'm so in the middle of the 1920s that I wasn't thinking. But yes, I suppose if Amazon was doing it today, not only that, but you would have it being sent in by...
Drone.
The drones take care of that for you. So before drones and before Prime shipping.
Now, you might not know this, but are the islands... Are they about 20 miles from shore?
25 miles,
okay.
Depending on which one, you know. So, in fact, when local law enforcement wanted to start off and try to get the bad guys, basically they would have to take one of the boats, commandeer a boat locally. So one of the boats they took one time was the Caprice, which was a syndicate-owned boat from yacht club members. And they went out and busted these guys and got a huge, whatever it was, gets the catch. And I guess that was very upsetting to the yacht club members because when you're busting the bad guys would turn around and basically punish, go after, retribution to any of the innocent parties on land. So the yacht club immediately made a pass that passed a regulation, whatever policy, that the boat could not be used for, you know, parties, that only for this and only for yacht club members who own the boat, so that law enforcement couldn't use it again. In the meantime, some other funny, amusing things is that the Coast Guard, I think, only had two boats in California when this started off, and they had an aging World War One submarine chaser. And its very best year, it did 20 yachts, and it's probably doing about 10 knots now. So you can do the math when it's going to try to chase the bad guys. And the other thing was San Diego had a tugboat, and it was it was so slow, it was a subject of scorn and ridicule by the bad guys, and it was called the Sea Cow, because that's probably about how slow it moved. Meanwhile, the smugglers had a war surplus airplane engine, 400 horsepower from a Liberty V-12, and these boats went speeds of 40 knots. So figure this out. Their boat's doing 40 knots, and we know the submarine chaser is doing about 10 knots, and the Sea Cow is probably doing like 7 or 8. So there's not a good chance these guys are going to be caught right away.
They're sure not. Now, hopefully, if they get to land so far ahead, they'd have to unload and someone could pick up before the boat catches up to them. But that's amazing. My guest is Aaron Graffy, and we're talking about Prohibition in Santa Barbara the first time. I don't know if there'll be part two, but we're talking about the 1920s, 100 years ago. So Santa Barbara developed a niche. You know, it's interesting. I never thought about how booze would have been, come into the, I figured there would be illegal distilleries. But what a great idea to come down from Canada or Mexico and come by boat. Isn't there, what's the rule on gambling? Can cruise ships gamble because they're X number of miles from the coast? I suppose there weren't cruises back then. Well, there was the Titanic, but I wonder if you could...
Well, there was a gambling boat. That's a whole other separate subject. We could do it another time. But there was a star of the, I'm just blanking the name, there was a gambling boat. And it would take off from Stearns Wharf, and it would go outside, and everybody's happy, 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 jumping on, getting their booze, gambling the whole nine yards. And finally, they couldn't bust them because, they weren't doing anything when they get on the boat, and it's going to go out a bit. But finally, they looked up, the law enforcement, a law, and it said that you could get busted for going on the way to, commit a crime. So they somehow, I still don't see how that worked, but that's how they put it in. Star of Hollywood, that was the name of it, Star of Hollywood. and people would be right there, you know, all ganged up on Stearns Wharf to load off and party, and the law enforcement couldn't really do anything.
But they cut it down. So that was during the same period. So we got a long time, 1920 to 1931. What else was going on?
So part of the deal is you're wondering, so where do they land the goods? Where does this all happen? So there's pretty much a very specific areas where they targeted to bring the goods from the boat, first to Santa Cruz Island. And this is so interesting. Santa Cruz Island, for all you boaters out there, you know that it has gobs of little caves all over tarnation there. So even if the feds heard, or law enforcement heard, that smugglers were going to come and do the deed Tuesday night on Santa Cruz Island, well, it's not a ginormous island, but it's just plenty big enough that law enforcement could be on one end of it, and the other guys are smuggling and landing on another end of it, and the feds could go all the way around the island three times that night, and they still won't find the guys. They would have landed the stuff, got it in the cave, and got out of there, done. Then the fisherman, or whoever might have been employed to do the deed, is going to pick up the goods from the islands, and they're going to land them in different specific places in Santa Barbara. Places that you might imagine, one would be around Serena's Wharf in Carpinteria, where the campground is in Carpinteria, right around that area would be one area that they did it. Stearns Wharf, they even sometimes came there, and you're thinking, but gosh, how can they do that? That's, you know, right there, right out in the open. And they had a wharfinger at that time, but he's not going to say anything because he knows, not because he's on the take or anything, but he knows that the smugglers will come back and harm him or his family. So if the feds come up and say, did you see anything last night in the morning? And he goes, no, you know, we were all asleep, we didn't see anything. Let's see, Henry's Beach, the back end of Hope Ranch Beach, and, of course, out in Elwood were all really prime spots for the smugglers to come in.
You skipped Goleta Beach.
Don't know about Goleta Beach right offhand.
Even back then, people weren't going to Goleta. My guest, Aaron, I'm kidding. My guest, Aaron Graffy. So, very interesting, and, of course, Carp's the world's safest beach. So, why don't we take a commercial break?
Alrighty.
And we come back, we can start talking about where the booze went and who was consuming it. Here is this law. It's just unfathomable. I mean, I was 10 years old in 1966, and Prohibition had just ended 35 years earlier. It was like yesterday, but it was just so distant in the past.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem real.
100 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, my dad was... family that were alive, and I just can't imagine. Okay, we'll continue with Prohibition in Santa Barbara, and I'll tell you which state apparently has no rules on serving alcohol 24/7, or if you watch 2.5 Men, 31, and also Santa Barbara's oldest restaurant. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.